Welcome to 20 Minute Tabletop, and hopefully I'm welcoming a few of you back. And if you are a returning listener, then thanks very much for sticking with us so far as we have been trying to get better and better each episode. So it's really good if you're sticking with us. I could only promise that by about episode 50, we might know what we're doing. But if you are a first-time listener, this is a podcast where each episode we try to discuss something from the world of tabletop gaming that we find interesting or exciting in 20 minutes or less. And again, that's possibly something that we sometimes fail at in terms of keeping the timings right. I think a lot of podcasts I've been listening to recently, and I have started delving into the board game podcast world, have been talking about Earthborn Rangers, which is a brand new game, similar-ish to Arkham Horror Living Card Game, recently available for a Kickstarter, everybody's going absolutely mad about, and it does look like a really good narrative driven card based game. But unfortunately, that isn't a game that I've got access to talking about, and so therefore I'm going to keep it as contemporary as I possibly can by discussing a game that was released in 1991 called Space Crusade. You might notice that I'm a little croaky this week, and I apologise for that as well. I've had a chest infection, so I'm going to work through it. But if I sound a little bit husky, not in a Mila Kunis kind of actress way, that's a sexy huskiness. I haven't got that going on. I've got more of the granny kind of warble, you know, where the throat is going. So apologies for that, but I'll do my best to work through those limitations. Yeah, so Space Crusade, I mean, it's a really interesting game. Is a game that I have owned since I was a kid, maybe about the age of 10 or 11. And it's a game also that I've had on my gaming shelf for years, years and years. A few years ago, my parents cleared out their house and they brought me a box load of stuff, boxes and boxes. You know, that time where parents probably start thinking they've moved out and we kept hold of their stuff because it was quite nice. You know, but then they realise you're never moving back in and it's time to get rid of it all. So I received a box of all my original Star Wars figures, and at the bottom of that box was Space Crusade. So I've had it on the Kallax shelf for maybe 5 or 6 years, but I've been nervous, if I'm honest, nervous to even open it up and have a look at it, because I think nostalgia can be a powerful emotion. And it's obviously tied to our memories and experiences. And I think sometimes if you revisit things that you've got nostalgia for, it can let us down a little bit because our memories might be idealised or exaggerated, and we may have unrealistic expectations about what it's going to be like. I mean, I suppose a good example is I went to a sweet shop recently and I bought some of my childhood favourite sweets. But in adulthood, you know, these childhood sweets that I had just tasted kind of sickly, and I mean, they were fine, but they were nothing like the nostalgia from getting these kind of rhubarb and custard sweets, which I used to buy from a tuck shop near my primary school. But as an adult, they were, I don't know, they were just, I mean, they were okay, but I wish I'd not been there and left that flavour as something that existed in my imagination alone. And it's for that reason that my copy, my childhood copy of HeroQuest and Space Crusade for some time remained unplayed. But it was only for me the fact that I looked at Space Crusade, and I did my episode with Kev recently where we talked about collecting versus playing. And I really started to think, you know, Space Crusade is a collectible game now. It's really, really probably worth £200. Can I justify just taking this game to my deathbed, you know, unplayed? Or surely, now that I've got three children of my own at ages 11, 9 and 6, surely now is the time to return to that nostalgia and maybe create some nostalgic experiences for them. So I literally dusted it off. I had to collect it and wiped down the game cover, and I decided that it was time to kind of revisit Space Crusade and see if it still held the magic that it did from when I was a kid myself. And it really did hold some magic for me back in the 90s. It really, really did. I used to play Space Crusade with my dad and my uncle Michael. And I still remember it, the visceral moment of seeing that dreadnought. Because what's great about Space Crusade is the little aliens move as little blips. And when you first move your marines into a zone, what the alien player comes to do is they take all the little blips and put them out. But you don't know what they are. You don't know what they represent. It could be a little Gretchen, or it could be a massive dreadnought. So you don't know what you're going to see or what you're going to find. And I think for me, the experience of fighting against dreadnoughts controlled by my dad, you know, and then taking him down, that kind of childhood experience of battling against your dad, you know you can't beat them normally. But in this context, your dad is metaphorically the dreadnought of a man, and you, the child, with your little marines are going to battle him. Not that I'm particularly competitive with my father, but I think also the, you know, it's Christmas time, it's the family board game, it's sitting around the table, it's really, really nostalgic for me, and all those memories are really visceral and real. So if you're unfamiliar with Space Crusade, it's essentially an adventure board game that was first produced in 1990, I think, by Milton Bradley, you know, MB Games, in collaboration with Games Workshop. Although I only recently discovered that fact, really, that it was a Games Workshop game. It's a game designed for 2 to 4 players, and it's associated with the Warhammer 40,000 universe, and it shares many of the concepts of that gaming sphere, but at a far, far simpler level of gameplay. It's a game that really captures what is known as the grimdark aesthetic. And I have heard the term grimdark a few times when people have talked about Warhammer 40,000. And obviously it's a blend of the words grim and dark, but I hadn't really known what it meant. I do now. It's a subgenre, and perhaps you already know this, it's a subgenre of speculative fiction, you know, dystopian and violent setting. And it comes from a tagline for Warhammer 40,000. In the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war. That's possibly the only time my sore throat's going to come in handy. So it's a blend of the grim darkness of the far future, so this grim dark aesthetic. And that kind of encapsulates the essence of most Warhammer 40,000 settings. And in Space Crusade, the galaxy is in perpetual conflict, and there's little hope for peace or prosperity. So what happens in Space Crusade, not to go too far into the rules, is that one player controls the aliens on a space hulk, which is like an abandoned spaceship. And that space hulk will include a mix of Chaos Orcs, Gene Stealers, who are flipping awesome. They've got 4 arms and they look wicked. There's other Warhammer 40,000 aliens. The miniatures in the game actually are brilliant, really, really good. And I think a lot of people maybe buy the game today just to get the miniatures from it. The role basically of these aliens is to prevent the marine players from completing their missions. And the other players, the people that are controlling the squads of space marines, each have 5 marines, including a commander. And you can distinguish the commander from the marines because he's so tough that he doesn't have to wear a helmet. You can actually see their face. And what's brilliant about this game, and I learned this from playing this with my kids just this weekend, was before the game even starts, you are really attached to these particular squads. Number one, they've got really wicked evocative names. And I think some of these names have carried on into the Warhammer 40,000 universe, but some of you listening to this will have far more expertise about that sphere of gaming than I do, because as you well know, I'm the board gamer, the cardboard shuffler. That sounds like something out of a gangster movie, doesn't it? God, imagine having that nickname, the cardboard shuffler. It's not particularly threatening, is it? But I am the board gamer, the cardboard shuffler, whereas Kev is the person who likes to move little miniatures around a bit more often than I do. So yeah, I don't want to pretend any expertise here, but I do think some of these Marine Squad names have carried on since Space Crusade. You've got the Ultramarines, which is the Blue Squad, the Blood Angels, which is the Red Squad, and you've got the Imperial Fists, which is the Yellow Squad. And each squad has its own set of commands and equipment cards, so there is some asynchronous play between these Marines squads, and if you choose one, they are likely to be slightly better than another. Some are better at hand-to-hand combat, and some are better sort of with the heavy weaponry. But the reason why I think you get so attached to these cool biker name style Marine troops that you've got is that you've got to do, before you even begin, a little bit of customization in terms of deciding which equipment cards you want to bring with you, or also what kind of weaponry you want to bring with you. So you can bring different types of gun. You've got your classic missile rocket launcher style affair, you've got the assault cannon, you've got these plasma gun, and you've got the light weapon as well that you can take instead. And if you take that instead, your Marines are slightly weaker, but can move a lot quicker. They're more agile. Where it improves on Hero Quest, I think, is that you're not rolling dice in order to move. You can move up to 6 spaces each time if you've got a light weaponry carrying Marine, but you can move only 4 if you're carrying a big heavy weapon. So what I really enjoyed with this was the kind of pre-game amble where you're literally attaching or detaching weapons from your Marines. And I got to watch my kids doing what I used to do and really labouring over whether they were going to bring a bionic arm or some equipment or a particular kind of grenade, and whether they were going to bring a rocket launcher or a plasma gun as they went into the troops. And what's really good about the game as well is that all the Marines start in kind of like hatch outside of the board with a big metal door. It's got that alien style, being outside an abandoned spaceship and then entering into the abandoned spaceship, at which point all of these blips that I'm referring to are put down. There's like a radar scan, and then all these blips are placed by the alien player. So it's wicked. It's really, really good. I mean, it's very, very simple. The combat's really simple. All of these different aliens have got an armor class, and it is as simple as very Space Crusade-y in the fact that you've got some red die and you've got some white die, and then you roll those, and depending on what you equipped your captain with, you might have a captain that can't do any long range fighting at all, but they're carrying a massive sword that they can go and batter people up close with. And it's about exploration. It's slightly tactical, but at such a simple level, really. But it's brilliant. I mean, it is genuinely a brilliant game. And all my worries about nostalgia and the fact that this game wasn't going to live up in a modern sphere were, I don't know. I mean, you know, sure. I mean, I think I would fully understand if somebody looked at it and just think this is utterly basic, but what's wrong with that sometimes? If you're having a laugh, it's really, really good. And yeah, I really think that Space Crusade is worth every penny of what it's worth today, because those people who would rebuy it and recapture their childhood experiences can do so confidently, in my opinion, because my kids loved it every single bit as much as I loved it as a child. And I got to be my dad. And I think that's what was the nicest bit for me, is I remember somebody saying once that there's quite an interesting thing. I think it's from a book by Ian McEwan about a grandfather who is watching his grandson in the sea, just playing around in the sea. And the dad is playing with his own son in the sea. And then the grandfather, who's really old, is watching and just sitting on the pebbles of the beach. But in a way, the grandfather remembers being the boy in the sea. He remembers being the father looking after the boy. And now he's experiencing it in a different way. So even though this grandfather is now nowhere near the water, he almost doesn't need to be. And I guess for me, being this alien player, being the controller of the dreadnought, and allowing my children to experience the beauty of Space Crusade that I had, but from a different perspective as an adult, who could see the flaws in the game, I suppose, but it kind of didn't matter because I could appreciate the beauty of the game through their eyes because I had seen the game through their eyes and it was wonderful. So, Space Crusade, yeah. Who needs Earthborn Rangers when we've got classics from 1990 by Games Workshop? And to be fair, they probably both cost a similar amount of money. So yeah, it's going back on the shelf now, but it will come off again soon. And I do wonder, you know, what the games are for you out there who are listening that have that same sense of nostalgia. And if you do want to let us know, then please just pop into the comments, talk to us on Instagram or Facebook. It's really nice when people touch base with us and say whether they've enjoyed the podcast. And if you have enjoyed the podcast as well, do share, do that review thing if you can be bothered. And we will come back shortly to give you another episode on something else. So thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next episode with a more normal chat with Kev about some topic that is taking our fancy that week, because I wouldn't want to subject you to listening to a croaky old man talking about nostalgic games from the 90s every week. So you'll have a more lively episode with me and Kev discussing something that we love together when we next meet. Thanks for your time and enjoy your gaming, people.